At the end of the prayer meeting last night, I was talking to Brother Willard. He talking to me. He said, "Well, how are you, Brother Horn?" I said, "I'm fine and dandy. I'm going strong, just like you." Well, he said, "I wish you were like me." I said, "And I wish I were like you, mentally, spiritually, and physically." Well, he said, "I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that way." He meant he wished I was younger and had something to put out. After the first meeting this morning, well, while it was going on, I spied a bald head on the front row. I didn't know our little Chester was here, and so I said, "That's enough. I'm out. I'm out." I wanted to make room for my brother, and I gladly sat in my seat and listened. Then I had to face the same thing this afternoon, but he's going to get up this afternoon. And you've got to follow. I mean, likely you'll follow. And that's not so easy. I can remember Dr. Henry Van Ryan, his brother in Chicago. He was telling my brother John. He said, "You know, John," he said, "it's hard for me to go out and preach." He said, "You know, when I go to a place, they say to me, 'Say, you can't preach like your brother Aldous, can you?' And Brother Aldous, he's a wonderful preacher." And he said, "They've got me so cowed down," he said, "I'm good before I start." And so when some of these men get up, "I'm good before I start." That is, I give you these men, I wonder, where do you get? And you, young bunny, what do you got to do, the Lord? But anyway, who could but fail to follow what we have this morning? Some of the things that have been on my heart and mind from even before coming to the conference. I want to tell you, I'd almost hate to read you what the Lord gave me the other morning. Maybe I will later, not at this time. I'll tell you what one said. One servant of God said to another, "Well," he said, "did you hear from the Lord today? Did he speak to you?" "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He spoke to me." He said, "What did he say?" He said, "It's too personal. It's too personal." And he didn't tell him at that time what he got from the Lord. But later on he said, "We had been reading that morning, 'Wherefore is the price in the hands of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart for it?' That was the word he got." And he said it was too personal. I didn't want to hear that. Well, what the Lord gave me the other morning, and my brother John and I, our tape recorder were broken. And during a month, two going out every day, you know how that goes. And we were right down to rock bottom practically. So we had to return and get busy, and we've been busy ever since then till just last night. But I said to John yesterday morning, a conference is coming on. And you realize that there is responsibility to a conference. There is responsibility. So I said, "John, let's hold the tapes and let's drop that for the time, because maybe something might happen. We might have an opportunity to speak, and the next thing is we want to be in readiness for that occasion." Well, anyway, here we are, and after hearing what we did this morning, you know, I sat there and I said, it was like somebody, something landed in his hand and a second in his pocket, something in this side, a second in this pocket. And by the time our brethren were through speaking, I was running around with my pockets full, my hands full, and I opened up my heart. Well, anyway, my brother John gave us to begin with, and for the benefit of some that may not have been here this morning, he spoke to us from Romans chapter 8 and showed us how that through the crucified Christ we had power to defeat the devil, and so on. And then he went on, the world and the flesh and the devil. Now, we realize this. We have enemies, not only sometimes we say we have a terrible enemy. Yes, we have a threefold enemy. And that's the thing our brother Kessler has been bringing before us this afternoon, that there's an enemy in the land. There are enemies in the land. and these enemies get in among the people of God. Somebody said just a short time ago. They were at one of the young people's conferences, and just a young girl came back home. She was bubbling over, but not with the things of God's presence. My, we had such a wonderful time, and oh, and then she said, now, I wonder if you would let me have part of tonight's meeting so I could get up and tell them what we had at our conference. If her grandfather died 2 years ago, she'd have heard that he would die that day. But anyway, he was one of the older brethren, one of the straightforward, upright men of God in the assembly. And now to hear that from a granddaughter, and someone said, well, now, we hardly think it wise for you to get up. You know, God hasn't given a place on the platform for women and girls, and we think it would be most unwise, and so we hope you won't be offended. But what do you think happened? She said, well, I tell you, I will go when I can give this out. And she went to a Baptist church. Well, of course, arms wide open, she got up and she led the parade and so on. Well, that's what's happening today. These things are creeping in from the outside, as our brother said. There have been men of God. There are a few men of God, but let me tell you, not many fathers. Oh, when we think of dear Johnny Moffat, when we think of Mr. Ross, when we think of men like that of the past, they were fathers. They had a heart for the young. They were interested in them. And then they tried to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord's self to that. When they passed on, others could carry on after a fashion the work that they had been carrying on. Well, I'm going to try to speak to you today. And Arthur, I'm glad you didn't finish that portion this morning, so maybe as the Lord might get help, I might get out. Now we see from the book of Ezekiel, and it's going to be chapter 14, and I'm going to read from verse 12 of this chapter. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, when the man sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then I will stretch out my hand upon it, and I will break the staff of bread thereof, and I will send a famine upon it, and I will cut off man and beast from it. But now, look what follows. Then he said, Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should but deliver their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Here are three outstanding Old Testament characters. And the first one is Noah. And you remember the old story in Genesis chapter 1 up to 6. When God spoke to that man, giving the New Testament language now, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. He realized God has spoken. And I want to tell you, men and women, when he speaks, it behooves us to walk lightly, softly, lest we do anything that we should not do. Some people are naturally good and religious. And I think I'm one of the meanest men in town. I almost stole a baby when I came to this meeting today. Coming up the aisle, spot a little baby, and I grabbed the baby buggy and was taking it along, but there was a mother there ready to grab me. I dropped it. But now, this is what I want to bring before us. Here are three outstanding characters. And the first one, you remember, God raised him up, and that one man got busy, and by faith he built that ark. And I want to tell you, then he preached the gospel, telling men and women of the way of salvation. There was only one place of safety. There was only one way of deliverance, and that was in the ark. And if you were on the outside, you must perish. If you were on the inside, you would surely be saved. And so now he brings these three men together, and the first one overcame the world. That was Noah. He overcame the world, and let me tell you, he went up, 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 and landed safely on the other side in the new world. He lived by faith, and he walked by faith. And let me tell you, dear saints of God, today, we live by faith. And the Apostle Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. There never has been a time in the history of God's people when they were ever permitted to walk by sight or go by feeling. You know, if a man goes by his feeling, that man goes like it. Only blind men that go by feeling. They go along like this, and they find themselves hitting, hitting, and so on. Others get out of their way, but they don't go by sight. As they go by faith, I mean by feeling. And a man that goes by feeling, he has never, never faith, and he's bound to run into trouble. But the man that walks by faith, he's a man that is kept from the present evil world and goes through his life as a mark for God. And then we think of the language found in Hebrews chapter 12. And then into chapter 12, where we have these words. And he had been speaking of the great man of faith in chapter 11. And then when he starts at chapter 12, wherefore, looking up unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. There never was a time, there never has been a time, when you can look any other direction. It must be upward, it must be faith in the Son of God. It was that for salvation, and it must be that for our preservation. If you are going to be preserved and carry on through this life, your eye must be on the man in the glory. As a lad, Ben Small, when we had our children's program, my mother used to get up and speak with the children, and she would speak this, there's a man in the glory. I know very well. I've known him for years, and he's goodness himself. Each moment expecting he'll call me away, and that keeps me bright all the rest of the day. And it went and go on singing, singing as I go. Well, she did. And let me tell you, friends, when you lose sight of a man in the glory, then you turn earthward, and then you begin to try and find satisfaction down here. But the old hymn writer could say, satisfied with thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed. And peace that passeth understanding, oh, what rest, thou the nearest and the dearest unto me. He filled and satisfied the heart of everyone that came to him for salvation. And he has filled and satisfied the hearts of those that have continued on in the ways of God. And every provision has been made for us by the God of glory. And then he tells us that the man of God may be perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. Well, we have men that pass through this life, men just like ourselves. And I want to tell you, they overcame, the first man overcame the world. And that's the thing that we have to battle with today more than at any other one time in the history of the Church of God. The world is so attractive, and there are so many things that are got in the schools that our children get into, and are dabbling into that by the time school is out. Why, they're so much like the world, and they seem like they're part of us, and we must do this or that, and they lose their link with God. And they don't lose salvation. That's something. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. But I want to tell you, it's easy to go down, not only for our children. It's easy to go down for any one of us. I want to tell you, you're never safe unless you're under his eye and feeding on his word and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the first man saved himself, and he saved his wife, and he saved his family, and wasn't that something? And that goes down in the pages of Holy Scripture that there was a man that took God at His word. There was a man that believed judgment was coming. There was a man that prepared for that awful event. And there was a man that reached over the top and come out on and in another world. And the next one I call our attention to is this. Though these three men, first I mentioned Noah, and now comes Daniel. Daniel, what kind of a man was Daniel? Well, it was a man that had purpose of heart. And Daniel's purpose in his heart that he would not defy himself with a king's meat. The lust of the flesh did not appeal to this man. He could say that he could turn aside from all that. And then he added, he could say this, we will be on top. That is, you leave it to me. We'll be on top. And the man that had the care and responsibility of those men said, but if anything happens, I'm going to suffer for that. Why the king expects you, as you come into his presence, to look at the last word in everything, so healthy and fat and strong. Yes. But anyway, Daniel said, but prove thy servant. Prove thy servant. And Daniel had some pulse to eat. And I suppose to some of us it would be very repulsive. But anyway, Daniel said, I'd rather have that than anything that was ever offered in sacrifice to idols. I don't want the king's dainty meat. I'm satisfied with that little bit that I have. When after a short period of time, you remember, they were called in and to stand before the king. And then the word of God, listen. He always wins who sides with God. Why? When he said he came out fairer and fatter, they were fairer. Nice looking man, Daniel, and his fellow men. And they were handsome looking fellows. And my, they were fairer and fatter. And the king, he didn't realize they had changed their diet. They're living on something else. Listen, if you live on the bread of life, you will have a fairer and a fatter, you'll have a fatter stomach and a fairer countenance. If you feed on the word of God, it will make you fairer and fatter. Some of us are so miserable and grouchy. I think we're feeding on wind. Ephraim fed on wind. Some of us pick up the 10-cent novel and read on it, feed on that cranky stuff, and it's just feeding on wind. Somebody is a wind pusher, and he writes the book, and we pick it up, and we gobble that, and we think we've done something, and you fed the flesh. You fed that, but you starved the soul. Starved the soul. Well, here was a man, and I want to tell you, he didn't starve his soul. He took time out to pray. And time out to keep in touch with his God in spite of his good position in life. Yet this man, he stood out in a marvelous way, in a marvelous way. Then you remember how he had been plotted against. And then a little bit later, and you remember that they were all supposed to bow down to that image and so on. Daniel said, no, no, no. And he wouldn't. Finally, you remember again, it brought this before us, that Daniel and his men, he said, give us a little time. There was, the king had a dream, and he couldn't remember his dream. And none of the great men in the country could tell his dream. But Daniel said, there's a God in heaven, and he revealed secrets to his servants of prophets. All some of God's servants of prophets have had secrets upon secrets and mysteries upon mysteries from the precious word of God, and some of us sit by. Where did it get all this? You marvel at the way it rolls in and rolls out. Well, Daniel was a man like that. And then again, a little bit later, you remember what they did? They cast him into a lion's den, then a lion. They cast him in. And he was fair and fatter. And probably the lion would say, oh, he'll make a deal. Won't that be something to get my hands on Daniel? But no, but no. He never got his hands, and he never got his paw, and he never got his mouth on Daniel. God shut the lion's mouth. Listen, we have a living God. and a God of power that is able to do. And the Word of God said, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Well, this is the second one. Noah overcame the world, and Daniel overcame the flesh. The next one is Job, and what about him? Well, here he is, you remember. He was tested by the devil. Oh, he was tested. Until he stripped him of everything, and then his health went bad. He was covered with boils, and then his wife came in, and she said, curse God and die. Curse God and die. And he said, in return, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. And he said, God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not recharge God's foolishness. Oh, to be like Noah. And oh, to be like Daniel. And oh, to be like Job. That would overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then he would come out. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I think I better say amen here, but I must just. The end of verse 13 says, and he said, I will cut off man and beast. You have man and beast, and then he's the line above that. I will send a famine. Now, Arthur, get ready for the rest of your message. I'm glad you did. I mean, I'm glad you left. Arthur goes over things so carefully that he doesn't lose anything. If I don't get ahead of him, well, I lose everything. Now let me see. I've almost forgotten those. Here it is. It's now in 2 Kings, and it's going to be in chapter 5. And Arthur got this before us in a very special way. That's just, they went out and they gathered these wild gourds, and then they put them in a great pot. And listen, had it not been for one man of God at that time, they would have died. And had it not been for one man sent from God, our Lord Jesus Christ, we would have died. And we'd have died in our sins. We were feasting on the husked swine. And we would have died as we lived, and died in our sins, and gone down to endless despair. But now in verse 42 of our chapter, we have this man still on the job, Elijah. He was the one that said, put meal in the pot. You see that meal, the fine meal, always speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ. In that even light, no knots, no bumps, nothing in the life of that man corrupt anyone but here. Then in verse 42 of our chapter, after they had finished this pot of soup or whatever it was, then you see the Lord never runs out. We sometimes run out. And look at this. Then verse 42, and there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread in the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and then full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. Give unto the people that they may eat. You know, we are exhorting in 1 Peter chapter 5 and 1, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. And there's only one way that can be done. If I've not been feeding on the Word of God, if I've not been gathering for myself, I can't pass on to others. And so here we have something in this chapter. A man brings something. There came a man, and a man of God, listen. No, it said, and there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk. And he said, give the people that they may eat. Give them what they may eat. Well, this was like you have in the John Gospel chapter 6. There was a man that came, and he had 5 loaves and 2 small fish. And then someone said, there's a lad here. And then when it was passed over, why, they said, but what is that among you men? In the chapter that's before us, the end of this chapter, he said, give ye them to eat. And here's what you have in verse 43. And the servitor said, what shall I set this before 100 men? shall I set this before 100 men, 20 loaves, and some ears of corn? 100 men? Listen as the prophet of God speaks. He said, and give the people of the Bethany, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat, and they shall leave thereof. They shall eat, and they shall leave thereof. Well, the end of this says, so he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof, and according to the word of the Lord. You see, if we dole this out, if it comes from the Lord, if we get our message for him, it's bound to feed the people of God. There is nothing that is so gratifying to the servant of God or the people of God to sit down if someone can minister the bread of life in such a way. Then when we leave a place like this, all men, women, boys, and girls in the street, thank God for a message like that. We just have to say at the end of the morning, you thank God for the morning. Thank God for men that could get up and did get up, and one by one gave us out from the Word of God, out of full heart, a message from the Lord. Now may the Lord add his richest, choicest blessings upon us, and may he help us to realize enemy number one, the world; enemy number two, the flesh; enemy number three, the devil. And I want to tell you, if that will keep you busy, that will keep you busy. We constantly have to be on the watch. And Paul said, we are not ignorant of Satan's cunning devices. We're not ignorant. We realize he wants in on this side, and he wants in on this side, and on this side. He is ever watching for an opportunity to get in. I think you remember the story of Job again. It was this. Then after his combat with Job, the devil said to the Lord, he said, well, Job doesn't serve you for nothing. He doesn't serve you for nothing. Why, you put a hedge about Job. Yes, thank God he is. And that's like the wall of protection. There's a hedge round about us. And God has made every provision for us as his saints. And his saints have always stood. And his saints will stand. I know some have gone down. But his church has always stood. And there will be some on the job when that trumpet sounds and will be called from this scene that will have served him from the beginning of their days until the end of their life. I know men like, I know many of them. Lived as far back as I can remember. I could count 1, 2, 3, so on. Men of God, they had just one thing before them. That was pleasing God. Just to please him. And they went through this life, but ended this life, shut their eyes on earth, and opened their eyes in glory, having, well, the Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. He said, I'm finished. I have kept the faith. Listen, I've fought. I've kept. I wonder if you're in the battle. Have you fought and have you kept? These were things committed to us, to our teaching. I've kept the faith. Then he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Listen, that's for you and I. To all them, that's for the saints of God that love his appearing. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Wouldn't it be grand to leave a conference like this and go to that conference that would never, never fail? Meet him in the air. Well, the word said, and so shall we be forever with him.
I should like to refer you first of all.